Hello?
Do you want to die tonight, Cece?
Eat shit and live, Bill.
Yeah, Bill, get a little wet.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Vintage Horror Podcast, where we talk about all horror, not just the vintage kind. Today we're going to be talking about X, that just got released in theaters, 2022, by Ty West. I'm here with Brady.
Yo.
And Mark.
Hello.
So let's just jump right in.
Mm-hmm.
This just came out Thursday for most people. I know some people got pre-screenings, but...
Or if you saw that, what's it called, that thing in Texas they do?
South by Southwest.
Ooh, yeah. There was a shooting there yesterday.
I thought that was in Arkansas.
I thought it said South by Southwest, yeah, in Texas.
I thought it was Arkansas there was a shooting yesterday or last night.
There's probably a shooting in Arkansas and Texas.
Yeah, I was going to say, they both allow guns everywhere, so...
Yeah.
Makes sense. But
that's besides the point. Let's talk about X.
So, I mean, it's directed by Ty West. I'm not very familiar with a lot of his other stuff.
What are you talking about?
I've seen The Innkeepers, but I've never seen VHS, The ABCs of Death, The House of the Devil. I've never seen any of that stuff.
You've never seen House of the Devil?
No.
You ever see Cabin Fever 2?
No.
I did see Cabin Fever 2.
Cabin Fever 2, though, he tried to get his name taken off.
Did he?
Yeah. He just didn't want to do it, didn't like the direction, and he tried to appeal to get the rights just handed over to the other guy, and they were like, no.
But he directed, is this after he directed it?
Yeah, like after he made it and everything, he said, no, I really don't want my name on this.
It's not that bad, honestly.
I didn't mind it. I mean,
I don't think it's terrible. It's
whatever. He also plays in You Are Next.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he acts in that?
Yeah,
yeah, he acts.
Boyfriend who gets like, he's the first kill.
Oh, I didn't
realize outside
that.
Of the opening kill.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
All right, so let's could somebody just give a overall, I guess, plot summary if you'd like to.
Sure. So, in I guess it was 1979. They were trying to make some pornos. I guess
those good movies.
This is the age of the I guess it was on. Was VHS out yet or no?
It was like right before it started taking off.
Yeah, so they were talking about making home movies so people don't have to go to the movie theaters. Or I'm assuming that's the word they used. So they could be perverts at home. And yeah. So these people rent a cabin or a little house outside of a house in Texas. And they start basically shooting a porno. And the people that own the house are very old and not with it, I guess. And some Texas Chainsaw Massacre stuff starts happening. And that's basically it. Like, that's like a quick plot summary. If I was telling someone, this is what I would tell someone that.
Yeah.
It's really not that hard or not that, how would you say it? It's not that in-depth, you know? It's like straight to the point.
So I see a lot of people talk about how it's Texas Chainsaw Massacre-esque, but I don't think, like, to me, the only thing Texas Chainsaw Massacre about it is that it's in Texas.
I was just about to say that. Maybe that's what people would say, but I don't know. That's
some of the shots remind. Go ahead, Mark. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, just from the initial trailer, that's what everyone was saying was like, oh, it's like Texas Chainsaw Massacre meets like a raunchy movie, you know?
Yeah.
So it kind of just stuck with most people, I guess.
I was going to say, some of the shots, like, really, like, at the beginning felt like Texas Chainsaw, like, the original, like, when the van's coming up to the house. Mm-hmm. That's, like, what really hit me as, like, this kind of, like, I was thinking, like, this is Texas Chainsaw, and this is also Friday the 13th, part 3, all in one. Like, that scene where the van is coming up, and even the opening mm-hmm. where, like, you see the dead body, and then, like, the camera goes to the doorway and pans out, and you see the dead bodies and the cop cars. Very, like, early slasher to me. And so that, I mean... I think it was definitely better, a better Texas Chainsaw movie than the one we got, but you know, that wasn't very hard for me.
Yeah, I think it's more along the lines of like, well, originally what I had said was it looks like Texas Chainsaw Massacre meets The Visit meets a porno.
I've never seen The Visit still, so I was going to do that this weekend before we did this, but I got kind of sick.
Then after watching it, it reminded me more of like Wrong Turn than Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I think it's just the way the old people look and how they are just so like backwoods.
Yeah.
And the guy's got like one tooth.
Yeah. But I, you know what? Let's jump into the cast.
It's all big names.
Kinda. Sorta. Well, Maya, is it Maya or Mia? Maya Goth.
I thought it was Mia Goth.
Mia Goth, it could be Mia. So I didn't realize that she played both Maxine and she played Pearl. I had no idea.
When
even in the movie at the end?
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying I didn't know she was the old lady too in the movie.
There's no way she plays the old lady.
She does. Yeah.
She does.
What? See?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I didn't know that until I thought it was just looked it up for this.
I thought it was when that video is playing, it's just her in the crowd. That's it. I'm like, that's weird. Why would she be the same person? Why would she? That's weird.
And then going back and looking, like thinking about it, it kind of makes sense though, because they never really put them in the same shot together, like interacting.
Just the bed scene.
But even still, like she's and, behind her, they could layer that.
In the kitchen.
And then when she,
yeah, but the at the kitchen, they're on opposite sides of the table. Again, it's easy to just layer that in. But they're never like interacting, shaking hands. Hey, how are you? You know, like both on screen, like arm in arm, like, hey, let's go do something. So I had no idea. And when actually it's funny because Sam's the one that told me that. And I said, what?
Does Sam know?
Dude, she knows more than me, apparently. I had no idea.
In the movie, I kind of thought like they looked really similar in the scene where Maxine, Mia Goth's character, is like shooting her porn scene and like she looks over her shoulder and it flashes and then it like turns into Pearl. Like for a second I was like, are they trying to like draw a correlation? But it never occurred to me like, oh, it's the same actress until the very end. And I was like, oh, that makes sense.
But so you knew when you were in the theater still?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
Neither did I until right the second.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell it was somebody with a lot of makeup on. That's all I could really get out of it. But I feel like she...
I thought it was an old woman, I swear to God.
I thought she did a great job, like, being two completely different characters. Like, her personality was completely different for both of them.
Yeah.
Mia Goth is apparently from the UK. I don't know if you guys saw that. Her mom's Brazilian and her dad is Canadian, but she grew up, like, in the UK for the most part. And I didn't hear a hint of accent in her voice either.
Just a country accent.
She used to date Shia LaBeouf, or was married to him.
I saw that. They were in Nymphomaniac Volume 2 together.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, well. Have you seen it, Brady?
Yep.
There's part 1 and part 2. I think they were both on Netflix at one point.
Yeah.
There's some just like a lot of fucking in those movies.
I don't even know what the fuck that is.
In the first one, I think... I don't know what character she's supposed to play, but in the first one, I know Shia LaBeouf like has sex with some girl, like it takes her virginity. He like pumps twice, flips her over, and pumps like two more times, and that's it.
That's pretty realistic.
Two of these movies.
Yeah, they show like a girl sucking a dick on a train. Yeah. Does he?
No.
Never heard of it.
They show like a girl sucking a dick like on a train, like to just show it. Yeah, Shia LaBeouf, I think like was a big part of those movies.
I never heard of it.
Yeah.
She was in Suspiria remake.
Yes, yeah. I didn't know that.
Emma, A Cure for Wellness. Did you guys ever see that one?
No.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. So how'd you feel about, I mean, her playing Maxine and Pearl?
I thought she was great.
Yeah, that makes it so much better. Like, wow, that's wild to think.
Yeah, I think she did a wonderful job as Maxine. I feel like, so I didn't know much about her heading into this, and I was kind of like skeptical. Because I honestly thought that she's on a lot of advertisements, but I thought maybe they would put Jenna Ortega in that front position, especially when she doesn't get killed at the one part. But then when Maxine winds up being like, you know, the final girl or whatever you want to call it, and she like held the movie up. And that was very surprising to me that she was able to do that great of a job.
Yeah, I thought that she was wonderful. And especially like we said, finding out that she played both parts of Maxine and Pearl. For Maxine, just like you, I thought that Ortega would be like the face of the movie just because she's been so proactive in horror lately. But I'm glad that they went with Mia Goth, and I think her character brought a sort of like determination that you need from a final girl. Not saying that Jenna Ortega couldn't do that, but I just think Mia Goth did it really well. Like throughout the whole movie, she's pretty confident, and while everything else is falling apart. And then as Pearl, I thought that one, the makeup design was incredible. And I thought that that character, I was reading an interview that Ty West gave where he was like, a lot of people have been on Twitter, especially accusing him of being like discriminatory towards old people in his movie, because mm-hmm. they're saying that he's like making old people look disgusting and saying that old people are evil. And he's like, you can make those assumptions all you want, but like, I was trying to like show how like everybody has issues with like their limited time on this earth. And so like they're at the end of their life and they're not happy with what's happened in their life. And there's a bit of jealousy there too. But, you know, I think that as Pearl, Mia Goth did a really good job of having this character who is a monster, but is also like, you sympathize with her a little bit, especially in like the first half of the movie.
Yeah. Well, as you know, Twitter's just a cesspool. So, yeah. You know, if you want to just see negative shit, just go to Twitter. You don't really get a lot of positive shit on Twitter, yeah. Unfortunately. And it's weird how many layers they put into her character. Well, maybe it's not that weird because I guess she is like the, I would say, main character of this movie. But like even at the end, the very end, when you find out that the preacher that's been on television that whole time throughout the movie is her father, and that Maxine like ran from this really religious cult looking situation, that it's, I don't know, just that extra little bit, you know.
I said, oh my god, am I Maxine? Is Maxine me?
I don't think so, Brady.
Okay,
I'll so is Maxine and Pearl sisters?
What?
I don't know.
If you said that's her Maxine's her, that's her father on the TV, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but that's an old video and Pearl's there.
No, that's on the television. That's just,
yeah, but
it looks old.
But Pearl's in the crowd, isn't she?
I don't think so.
That's what I was. That's what I was confused about. Well, I thought that's why she was Pearl. Like she was like the So maybe it was just that was on TV, but that looked like it was definitely like from the 50s or something.
Well, it looks old because it's the 70s, but it looks like a generation, an older generation in the 70s that's trying to hold on to.
Oh, maybe. You
know, fundamentals from an earlier time. Mm-hmm.
So I was just figuring that was them watching like an old
like VHS or something.
No, like an old showing of whatever that guy was preaching, and then that was like Pearl and the husband there or something. But maybe that makes sense that it was Maxine,
because he holds up her picture and says like my daughter Maxine, and it, I mean it looks like her maybe like a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense though.
Yeah. But I'd say as Pearl, she did a great job. For me, like, because again, I didn't realize she was even the same person, but I don't know, like something like I guess you can't really have just old people playing these parts because you need them to be able to do a little bit more than just be decrepit. But I don't know. I think she did a fine job. She did that whole like innocent, like this movie takes such a weird twist to me because when I first saw it, as I'm watching, I'm kind of thinking like, I don't know, like you think that she is just a little senile and she is going a little crazy and she's losing it. And then you find out like, you think her, like her husband's like, oh, I'm here to like help. But then like to try to like, she is a little out there and he just, you know, does lose her. But then you find out it's just all one big like show and they're in this together. And what the end goal is, I don't really fucking know. But
I think the end goal was just to have people that she could have sex with because he couldn't have sex with her, right?
That's kind of what it seems like.
Yeah.
But it seems so shallow and there's no depth to it that I'm like, that can't be it. Like, why would they tie up that guy and leave him in the basement?
So what I got from it at the end, especially, is when like when Pearl's talking to Maxine about how like I used to be you and like they're just gonna take it from you. Like she was probably this person similar to Maxine when she was younger. Looks exactly like her. And then she's like, she's still like sexually hungry, I guess you could call it. And So like her husband has a bad heart and can't give it to her until he does in the movie. And so
Ken, he's just a lazy fuck.
He's like, all right, cool. Like, I'll help you. Like, I'll make sure that like there's some fresh meat here for you that you can have. And then that means tying up naked men in the basement. But then I don't know why they were going, like, she's like talking about how like Maxine is the one that she wants. And so I was like, okay, is she going to have sex with Maxine?
Well, I think she tried to in the bed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was definitely, she wanted to.
Massaging her. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the same move I put on Paige when she's asleep. And I'm like, all right, time to wake you up.
And then she
just yells at me. Maxine. Yeah. Yeah. She screams.
And she tries to like kiss her in the house. Maxine's like, what the fuck are you doing?
She touches her rib. And she's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? It's the most awkward thing.
Our little secret. She's like, what secret?
I will never understand why Maxine decides to go to the house, though, when she sees Pearl waving. Like, I don't understand that.
They have a connection. Mm-hmm. That's what you chalk it up to. Any bad plot point here, you just be like, they have a connection.
There you go. All right, so let's move on to Jenna Ortega's character, Lorraine, which I didn't even know she...
Church Mouse.
Yeah,
Church
I didn't Mouse. Even know Lorraine was her name until I looked up on IMDb.
Really?
Yeah, they might have said it once, but I...
Is she Lorraine Warren?
I think so. I think that's where they're going with that.
Yeah, wow. Probably not.
No.
They're bringing this into the Conjuring universe. Wow.
James Wan's going to pop up in the next one.
And I know we just talked about her because she was in Scream, but she's in Studio 666, Scream 2022, aka Scream 5, aka 5 Cream. She's in You and The Babysitter, Killer Queen, and also Stuck in the Middle. That's like her TV series that she really made like a big splash in.
Let's talk about real quick how she is probably like our modern day final girl, like Scream Queen, right?
Yeah, 100%.
She's going to be, yeah.
She better be. So. Like watching interviews that she did for Scream and then also for this movie, I was like, damn, like she knows her horror shit, man. Like it's not even just like she's like trying to use horror to like catapult her up to other stuff. Like she's just all in, which I can really appreciate. Yes.
And think about the scene where she's in the basement and she sees that body for the first time and she screams. Do you think anybody else in this cast would be able to fucking hold that like part, be able to do that?
Kid Cudi. He could have.
Okay, first of all,
his name.
Yeah, he's not even Kid Cudi, okay? So
he's Scott something.
Scott Ramon Seguro Mescudi.
There we go.
There you go.
But no, yeah, I mean, that scene was pure gold for her, and like the facial reaction to going with the scream, just great.
Yeah,
everything right that she needs to do right in this movie. Like, I figured, like before, like you guys said, she was gonna be the final girl, and like they would just use Brittany Snow's, like she's a bigger name, I guess, like just to kill her off, and then the other girl, Maya, would be like, I thought she was gonna be the first kill, just like a trashy kill or something stupid, but it flipped it around on me, so.
Also, it's amazing like what Jenna Ortega is doing in like supporting roles, because even in Scream, she wasn't like the like final girl, or she was, but she wasn't supposed to be like the main final girl. It was supposed to be Sam, and like she still blew Sam out of the water and was like the best part of that movie acting wise. And then same with this one, like she's not even the main person that you're supposed to feel something for.
Yeah, but what I like about this more than I like about Scream is the other people around here are able to hold themselves just as high as she does. They're able to stand up to her toe to toe and not let her outshine them, which unfortunately happens in Scream, which, you know, we talked about. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole like Church Mouse thing and then flipping the script so that she wants to like actually be in the porn.
Dude, that was, I mean, I kind of saw it coming, but then like just when she says that and RJ's like, no.
Yeah.
I was like, uh-oh. She's going, fuck.
It was in the trailer though. Her saying like, I want to be in it. Yeah.
God.
But yeah, I agree. That reaction from RJ is hilarious, but you kind of saw it coming, of course, you know?
Yeah.
Because the whole time he's defending like this porn and she's like, I don't understand it. And then when, of course, she's like, you know what? Fine. I want to be an eight. Yeah, fuck you. No, he's you like, wait.
We can't write the story, you know, after we've already shot half of it. Like, we can't do that.
Yeah.
Just grasp into anything.
Yep. I just like how she like is totally honest and she's like, nobody's here for the story.
Yeah.
I like how they try to compare this or like what they're doing to Debbie Does Dallas. I think that's what it is. Yeah, Debbie Does Dallas, because like that was a huge fucking movie for its time. And well, when it comes to, you know, like smut films and stuff. But so it's funny that, like, I don't know, that's so in the zeitgeist, and then she just says like, fuck it, I want to be in this, I want to try to be a part of that, I want to be famous too. And then also, like, nobody's here for the story, which is always true, at least back in the day. Now I don't think they have much story anymore.
Although, great title, The Farmer's Daughter.
Yeah, dude, The Farmer's Daughter.
I wouldn't mind if this movie was called The Farmer's Daughter.
What if that's like the third one in the series?
Oh, please, please don't start that. I don't want to hear that.
Hopefully it is.
We'll talk about that later, I guess. I don't know.
So I guess we can move to Brittany Snow. What'd you guys think of her in this movie? I mean,
she had really nice tits.
Yeah, okay, I said it in the pre-roll. Like, I've been waiting for this role since 2004. Sure, it's
not a body double.
What?
Sure, it's not a body double or
shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
I'm pretty sure that's her. I don't know.
Well, they did that with like I don't know what movie that's in. Olivia Wilde. She had to get like naked, and she said she didn't want to do it, so they did like CGI like nipples on her. Mm. So it's like not really her. I don't remember what movie it was.
Damn. This isn't just like nipples. This is like she's completely naked, like in this movie.
Yeah, I know. Could be a body double.
So with her performance, I think Mark said it earlier, like she's definitely like the biggest like star name in the cast.
Yeah, for
sure. I would say like legacy, if you want to go that route. But
now we're back to legacy.
I think she was great in it. Like she had that kind of like high-end attitude where she's like knows that she's the shit. And especially like her banter between her and Kid Cudi's character. I'm gonna just keep calling him Kid Cudi. And I just think it was great, and like her scenes in the movie were fantastic. You know, not to be too gross, but like she's hot. And then I personally will get to it. Like I think that her death scene is probably one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. I like how obviously Brittany Snow is very attractive. So I like how, like in this role, it's like you said, she is just like, I'm hot as fuck, and like I'm the shit, and like I don't know,
she's the star, like she's gonna be a star.
Yeah, but she used it in a very empowering way. It wasn't just like her being a stupid blonde bombshell for nothing. Like, and I like the thing I like about this movie so much, I think, is that yes, it's got like all these porn aspects to it, but it's very like honest with how it is. Like everyone loves sex, everyone wants to see it. Like, and there's like, we're just not afraid to, we make people horny and we're not afraid to, or it pisses people off, like something like that, whatever the fuck that quote is.
Yeah.
Well, a thing that really stuck with me in this movie, like outside of the kills, was the scene at night where she sings The Landslide by Fleetwood Mac.
Oh man. Yeah, I did think that's she does a good job singing, if that's actually her. I assume it is.
Could be
a body double. She was in Pitch Perfect, so
they probably CGI'd her voice.
Yeah,
but I—that's one of my least favorite parts of this movie, though.
Really?
I mean, it's like a whole song, and it just drags on.
I think it was effective. I think that it was just like,
I get what they were trying to
do—the high mark of like you being attached to these characters. And yeah. I think that it only works for me because of the way the movie opens, where it opens with all the dead bodies, and you're like, shit, like.
You know they're all dead.
They're all dead. Yeah. Well, yeah. You assume that one's going to survive. Actually, at the beginning, I figured that they were all going to die. Because really, you hadn't seen anything that he did towards the end. So I was like, man, if they really kill off everybody, that's going to be bold.
The reason I didn't think everybody was going to die is because how would the last person have died? You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's in my head, it's always like, whether it's one of the old people or the young people, one of them has to survive, because how the fuck is everybody dead? Did the
cops get there? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm not even saying, because I doubt she called the cops, honestly. No. I don't know how they would roll up the next day. Maybe she did go to the cops, but how would everybody be dead? You know, if, well, if I don't say, mean like, say you're the last person to kill somebody, how do you die?
That guy had he could have had a heart attack.
I don't mean like, oh, I guess I see what you're saying. Yeah. That's true. The guy had a heart attack, and then, I mean, the last killer could have, they're old. So, like, clearly the scene where she shoots the shotgun and flies backwards, like.
Yeah. That is a great part, honestly. Yeah. I didn't expect that at all.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Especially since Howard had been fucking just taking those shots, no problem all night.
Yeah. And
Pearl couldn't. All right. So let's move in. Anybody else have anything to say about Brittany Snow?
No, just really loved her in this movie. Always loved her.
Yeah. So let's talk about Scott Ramon Segro Mascuti, a.k.a. Kid Cudi, who played Jackson.
Yeah, I think he did a lot better job than I thought he was going to do.
Oh, yeah. Same.
Me too.
I just figured he'd be another like R&B rapper that turned actor that doesn't do that good of a job, but he definitely exceeded my expectations. I thought he did really good.
Yeah, especially...
He plays his part well.
Like, I think he's probably the most likable male character in the cast.
Whoa.
Why, you like the other, what's his name? Wagner?
He liked Wayne. He liked Wayne.
Wayne's cool as fuck.
I think that, like, the whole storyline of him being in Vietnam and having, like, this, like, carefree attitude because of that was good. Really puts you in that, like, time and place. And, like Mark said, I think... going into it, I was really hoping it wasn't going to be like Texas Chainsaw 3D, where it was like Trey Songz.
Trey Songz did a good job in Texas Chainsaw 3D.
I don't think, I just rewatched it the other night and I was like, oh, it's everybody's bad in that movie. But
no,
the only R&B actor that did a better job than Kid Cudi here was LL Cool J.
I knew you were going to say that.
Halloween H2O.
LL Cool J is a good actor.
Not Deep Blue Sea.
Deep Blue Sea, Mindhunter. He's really good.
He was all right in Deep Blue Sea.
You ate my fucking bird. Dude, that's good.
But I liked him, and I think his death scene was probably the weakest one. Mm. But there was good build up to it. Like, I really thought that... All right, so anyways, I'm just going to ruin something here. In the movie...
We ruin everything.
There's gators.
We're ruiners.
So, like, at the beginning, where Maxine is swimming, there's an alligator. Good scene. Sets you up. It's a typical Hitchcock style... where like show you the bomb, so when there's an explosion later, you know what happens. But then throughout the movie, I was waiting for those gators to come back. And then even when the old guy, was his name Howard, is talking to him, he's like, oh, there's gators out here, I'm worried my wife fell, blah blah blah, like when he leaves the flashlight down as like the decoy, I really thought that Kid Cudi was going to get killed by
a gator.
And then it comes up later, but so I thought that was a really good like subversion. And then for him to just get blown away by the shotgun, it was like, oh, it was almost as fast as the kill, RJ's kill, where Pearl just like sticks him in the neck and you're like, holy shit, like you know what's coming, but it still like happened, like if you blink you miss it.
Yeah, I think they did a good job with that, because you definitely expected a gator to get him there when he goes to pick up the flashlight.
Yep.
That's what I was like, oh, he's dead here, and then it's a different way.
I thought that the gator was going to be too obvious. So I didn't think that that's what they would go. Maybe they'd show up, but I didn't think it would get him and kill him. Mm-hmm. I think that his death might be, to me, the most tragic, because you got to think, like, this guy, he's a black guy in the 70s who was a fucking Marine, defended his country dick. On two tours.
Yep.
Yeah. Huge dick. What a waste.
I was like, is that a prop?
This is a body double.
The world may never know.
We got to get him on here. We got to get him on here and ask him.
But I mean,
right now,
like, and then he comes to help this old guy who's also in the military and just, try to, you know, relate to him by saying, like, you know, once a Marine, always a Marine. And then this old guy's like, I don't give a fuck about the Marines, bro. Like, I'm trying to find someone for my wife to fuck. And you ain't it. Not with that big thing. You'll break
You're gonna
her.
Hurt her.
Oh, gosh.
So then he just, you know, shoots him. And that's, again, one of the weaker kills, but I think it's one of the most tragic. I think that they do a great job of, well, with every character, making you care about these characters, but especially him. Yeah. Because, I mean, right away when they get there and Howard's confronting them and like asking, like, well, I didn't know all these people are going to be with you. I don't particularly like you guys. You get, I don't know, you kind of feel like in the 70s, like, I mean, black people still get a lot of hate, but back then, like, racism was very, very high. And
it was okay then.
And it's, I don't know, it kind of like, you just feel like, damn, like, this guy's probably going to get the brunt of it. And then he kind of makes that small connection by saying, like, yeah, I served in Vietnam. And he made it through Vietnam twice, bro. Twice.
Yeah. And then gets fucking killed in Texas.
By some old white fuck.
Yeah.
Sounds like America.
Yeah. Yep. But I think Jenna Ortega's death is more like tragic, only because she's trapped that whole time in the basement. She breaks open the door, goes to open it, gets her fingers cut off.
Ugh, yeah.
And then Maya comes out, lets her out, and then she runs out and like, and just like you think she's gone, and then just gets blasted away by a shotgun.
Dude, she got fucking wrecked by that thing.
Yeah. But, you know, it didn't even kill her right away. Or maybe it did. Maybe that was just like a spasm of the diaphragm. Yeah.
Yeah.
For hers, I wouldn't even call it tragic necessarily. I would call hers more unexpected.
Well, yeah. That's what I expected it. I felt like she was going to get away the whole time. That's why when she busted through the door, I said, oh, she's going to run away, get to the car. And I didn't expect her to get shot.
I only expected it because at the beginning they show like the body, like where the body had been dragged, and I was like, well, she's the only one left, so I figured with her running she'd get shot or she'd get killed and they'd have to drag her body. But all right, what about Wayne? Let's get to Kyle's favorite character,
Martin Henderson. He's not my favorite.
Why is your favorite?
But I like him as a male character. I think he's a little bit better because he's got that charisma, you know. I didn't realize that he was in Stranger Spray at Night. I didn't realize that was the same guy. I had no fucking idea.
Was this the dad?
I think so, right?
It has to be, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I had no idea.
They look the same.
What? They don't look the same?
He doesn't even look the same.
He kind of does when you think about it. I mean, he's got his shirt off and he looks a little bit more, like, built right now. But I don't know. Just I liked that whole, like, I think I'm a high roller, but he's really just, like, the fucking scum of the earth kind of person, you know, like he's in that shitty, like shady business, but like, I don't know, like he thinks he's got it all made. I don't know. I love that naive personality as much as he's wise. And I mean, he tries helping RJ and giving him some advice. And he's like, listen, bro, I'm gonna tell you, I've been married. Like I had this new hot girlfriend. She's young as fuck. Like, just listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. But then in the end, he really doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, I think that's like, probably, like you said, the best part of his character is that he is just a con man, essentially. Like, he's white trash, but he, like, still, like, puts on this persona that, like, it's kind of like when you look at, like, the Inventing Anna stuff, and you're like, oh, that could never happen. Like, you just have people who are suave enough or have enough charisma, and, like,
I've they can talk their
way
so.
Into anything. Oh, well, spoiler
alert. Well, we can compare it to, like, the Tinder swindler. How about
that? Didn't see that either.
It's kind of like, God. If you have enough
Some of us are sick out here.
Well, you have nothing else to do.
Whoa.
But you have enough confidence, you have enough charisma, like you can go further than you might think. And I think his character just shows that, like you said, even at the end, like he doesn't know shit, but like he still has made his way, getting all these people, attracting young talent. He what owns that fucking strip club, like
I just feel like he felt like he knows what he wants to do and he's just gonna do it. Like he's like, we're gonna make this porno, it's gonna go big. He's like, this is the next big thing. And he already put it in his head. Like this, I'm already going to be like a big name guy. Like he's already 40 in his 40s already. He's at the end of his career. He's got like these young, hot women with him. And he figures like, this is it. And he doesn't care if he has to lie or anything to anyone else, but, or lie to himself to say that this isn't going to work out. But he, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why Kyle likes him.
I liked his kill scene too, like stepping on the nail and then the looking through the holes in the barn and then getting the pitchfork through the face.
Yeah.
I think his kill was the most obvious of what was about to happen.
Oh yeah. It was like there was nothing surprising about it, but I still loved it, especially afterwards where like his eye is like just on the ground. I thought that was fucking good.
Yeah, the whole like you expected him to step on that nail too, like when they show it.
Oh,
you're like, oh, he's definitely gonna step on that. He's got barefoot. Even though if he had shoes on, it's going right through that.
Yeah,
I love how you could see it like pop up through the top of his foot,
a little
bit, like push on the skin. That was awesome.
Yeah,
He's not really a deep character, but I like him. It's just his charisma, man. It was getting me. I would have been conned by him.
Well, I think that's the thing that works about these people is like none of them are like super deep characters. Like sure, like, towards the end, you can argue that like Maxine and Pearl with their connection are like deep characters, but like they all work so well because I feel like you're attached to them all equally. So, like, each death scene, even if it's not expected or it is expected, like, you're still like, oh, man, like, that kind of sucks to see them go. Like,
yeah, and they're all like, kind of play real people.
You're not, like, rooting for anybody to die. Even RJ, the whiny little bitch. Like, I was like, eh, like, it's not like I wanted him to die. It's not like your typical slashers where there's always somebody that you're like, okay, like they deserve to die. Shelly.
Yeah, I get it. I wouldn't want my girlfriend to get fucked by another guy either.
Shelly's cool.
Shelly from Friday the 13th Part 3?
Is that what you said, Shelly?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah, but
fuck
yeah,
that guy. Guy's
cool. He's cool. He's a lawyer. He's going to sue your ass.
He's a lawyer now.
Larry Zerner's lawyer, Larry not Zerner's Shelly. Cool.
Let me text him real quick.
All right, let's move on to Owen Campbell, RJ.
Who I thought the whole time was from Evil Dead Remake.
Yeah, yeah. You were wrong. He's not.
I thought that too.
You didn't know I was wrong.
What?
You didn't even. I asked you, like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't know because he didn't look familiar to me, which makes sense.
He looks exactly like him. He looks exactly the kid from Evil Dead.
But he's not, so.
Brady loves Evil Dead 2013.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Doesn't that look like the guy that gets the glass in his eye?
Yep. I thought so too, and then I looked at the cast and I was like, oh,
yeah, fuck you, Kyle. You don't know shit.
So you guys were both wrong. That's all you're trying to tell me is that you
both were wrong. I was never wrong once. Never wrong once.
The only thing that he was in that was like his bigger part was like Body Brokers. And that's pretty much it. I mean, going back and rewatching trailers, they show his death in the trailer.
Do they?
They show him getting stabbed in the neck. Yeah. Yeah. They show like, so it's in the shadow a little bit. So it's, you don't exactly like see him like falling to the ground, but you can see right when he gets stabbed. If you like know what you're looking at.
Yeah.
And of course cut to a couple other scenes and they come back in the trailer and you see like Pearl stabbing him, but not, you don't see him, but you see the part where she's stabbing.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. I mean, as a character, I don't know. He did what he was supposed to do. The artsy director, artsy
nerd boyfriend.
Yeah. Writer that, you know, was making uptight. The thing, but wasn't attached to it. Well, he's not even uptight, you know.
Well, I think anything, I guess because he didn't want his girlfriend to get banged, but I guess that makes him uptight. And just in this the scenario and the scene, I guess, are like as everyone else is doing it. Because I don't even know, is Wayne a part of it or he's just funding it? Was he going to be in it or was he going to be the father of the farmer's daughter?
That could be. That would make the most sense.
I'm assuming that's what it was.
Yeah, I thought they only rented it out for that one day, though.
Yeah.
That's why they were trying to get it done. But that might make sense. But I think it was just supposed to be, like, Jackson fucking everybody. I don't think that, like, Wayne was going to come in and do it, you know?
Not, like, bang them, but was he going to come in and be like, oh, I'm the you fucking asshole?
I have no idea.
You know? They need more. They need part two.
But, yeah, RJ, I don't know. He did the part. I don't think his acting was bad. And I think his death was pretty brutal. Getting stabbed in the neck, and then just, I like how as he's getting stabbed, they don't show it like directly, but you can see his face is kind of getting more and more like mangled.
Uncomfortable.
Well, that too, I guess, when you're getting stabbed. But I'm saying when he already is like dead,
because
he is kind of like, what the fuck at first, but then she just like keeps stabbing. You just see like,
that's what I felt too when he's like goes up to her. I didn't expect her to stab him. Because I didn't remember from the trailer, so I'm like, holy shit. Like, this old lady's wild. And then she just keeps stabbing, and she keeps stabbing when you stop screaming, whatever that song was.
From I'll Geos. Stop stabbing when you stop screaming?
Yeah.
But we'll move on to Howard, played by Stephen Yeor, who was in Deathgasm and a bunch of other, like, Lord of the Rings stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Immortal Engines, which is that movie that, like, was supposed to be, like, Ready Player One or, like, one of those book-come-to-movie things, and they were supposed to, like, I don't know. They tried pushing it hard, but I feel like nobody saw it.
Never heard of it.
You've heard of Mortal Engines. Dude, it was like a few years ago, and they tried pushing it like hard. It was supposed to be like another one of these big, like I said, books that became a movie, and they're highly produced, and I just feel like it went nowhere.
Was like it called?
Mortal Engines.
No, I never heard of this ever.
Yeah, I remember when they were like promoting the shit out of it. And then it like
everybody
bombed.
Was like, I don't care. Yeah, everyone was like, I don't care. I don't know. I like I said earlier about his character, I love how you think that he really is just like this like older guy who like typical Texan, stay off my fucking property kind of person. And then you think he's really just trying to look out for his wife who is a little senile, and then it comes to be like he's not just looking out for her, like he's out there to kill people.
Mm-hmm. So do you guys think in the beginning when they first pull up and Wayne goes up to the house and he has the gun, he's like, you got to get the fuck out of here. Did he know who he was?
Or
he was trying to put fear into him.
I think there is a level of them being like slightly senile. Like it's mm-hmm. definitely like they're not all together there. I think that the group, like Wayne and all them, they just assume that they're super senile and that they're old. Mm-hmm. So, oh, of course, like they're just going to be wandering around. But I think like there is some level of truth to it. Like they are old, like they're forgetful. Like he probably just completely forgot and he was expecting just Wayne and he forgot what day it was. And then, of course, like there's more people. So,
and what do you think he was offended by the when he gave him extra money? When he's like, I know it was 30 for the night, but I left something extra in there. You think that made him kind of pissed him off?
I don't think he was offended, but I think he just like knew what was going on. Like I said, Wayne's a con man, and this guy's probably seen his fair share of con man. I mean, technically he's one too, but he was probably just like, yeah, dude, you're just fucking like, you're trash, man. Like, cool, here's the extra money, but like, I like when he's like, I don't like you very much, Wayne.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I don't like you very much either. Yeah.
He's honest because he's old. He, like, you know, why censor himself? But I think that when he was handing the money, he wasn't exactly offended, but I think he's still like, yeah, either way, I don't care how much you give me. I don't want this shit happening here. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not what I let you rent this out for. And I think that in the beginning, when he held the shotgun up and he said, are you from the county? I think that's probably because somebody went missing a week earlier and he's probably on like high alert that somebody's going to come looking for that car and that guy. That's on.
That makes that makes sense.
Yeah. When they show that car in the water later on, when Jackson's looking around, that's where I thought, like, that's where I made the switch. Like, oh no, this old guy, he's in on everything. It's he's not as innocent as he seems. He's not just trying to look out for his old wife.
I thought something similar. So one thing about that scene, like that's just like a great call out to Psycho. But second, I didn't think that he was in on it. I thought that maybe that meant like the old guy was like kind of like the protector role, but like knew what his wife was doing. Like his wife was the killer. He knew that she was a murderer, but like he didn't want to turn her in because he loved her. So he just like kind of took on the role of like, oh, I got to clean up her mess now. Yeah. I didn't make the connection like, oh, he's helping her like get her fresh meat or whatever.
Oh, well, that's what I meant.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah, yeah. He's just there to clean up her mistakes.
I just meant that he's in it somehow. Like he's not oblivious to everything that's happening. Gotcha. That he is somewhere part of the whole thing. But then when he starts killing, that's kind of what I'm like, oh, maybe I did think back to the beginning. I was thinking maybe he did think that somebody, that's why he says from the county, like somebody's coming to look for that, or maybe they were already there and he's like, I already told you guys, stay the fuck off my lawn. Like, I don't care what you think.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. I love the fucking sex scene between the old people. Oh. I think that is fucking hysterical. I was just like, okay, fine, I'll do it. He's like, hopefully I don't die.
What about my heart?
Your heart will be fine. Dude, I took a class maybe 3 years ago. I had to take like an elective class and I picked like gender and sexuality, but there's a whole week, it's like worth of modules that talked about like the elderly and sex. Oh my God. It's like those old people be fucking, man. Like they're the ones who spread STDs the most. Cause they're like, oh, I can't have babies. I don't need protection.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm pretty sure it's some of the highest rates of STD transfers in like old people homes specifically, like, cause they have literally nothing to do all day and they just fuck all day.
Old people are horny, man.
Dude, did I ever tell you? Okay, this is has nothing to do with X, but I worked in this like old people, like it was like an apartment kind of building. It wasn't necessarily like an old people home. It was like an apartment building, but I think they still had like staff that would go around and like check things. Mm. This old guy, he had to have been like in his 60s, and he was living with like his mom, who was in like her 90s, in this like fucking two bedroom or one bedroom apartment. He might have slept in the living room, and we had like empty everything out. I forget what happened. They might have had a fire or something, water damage, but we were emptying everything out. And we found like notes from this guy that he wrote to people. And it was like, hey, I forget his name, but it was like, hey, I've been admiring you for months. Like, I just want to know what your dick tastes like. And like stuff like that. And like, we're like, yeah, we're like reading. And he's like, yeah, but I'm the big guy. Like that. I see you like every morning. Just like, if you feel the same way, let me know. Like, I want to suck your dick. And I was like, what fuck, dude? And we found several of these that he wrote and then just, I guess, never gave to people. He wrote it like, I guess he was either gay or bi and was just trying to like this fuck all these old guys. It's not an invasion of privacy. I saw that. I was like, what the fuck? I used to have pictures of them. But Jesus. So I know they'd be fucking out there.
Yeah.
And they don't even care who.
I still didn't like the scene. And you can say that I'm discriminatory towards old people. I am. Okay. I fucking hate old people. I hate young people. I hate people my age. I hate every fucking person. But I don't want to see old people fucking. Unless it's Britney Snow. Sure. If it's old Britney Snow, I'm always there.
But it makes it better that Maxine's underneath it. It's just like the mattress is like bouncing on them, or the box spring or whatever it is just hitting her in the back.
She was underneath twice, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Ew.
But what do you mean you don't want to watch old people fucking? You don't want to watch old Mia Goth fuck some old guy?
I'm good. I'm okay. So glad that they didn't like go that route where like they tie like Mia Goth up and like the old guy, like the old woman has to like fuck her. I'd been like, oh.
Yeah, no, that would have been a completely different movie.
Yeah, that would have been, I would have walked out. I'd have said, nope.
Yeah, but I love his death. I love the heart attack. That was probably the most unexpected for me. Mm-hmm. I know they talked about his heart the whole time.
I'd say they did a bunch of times.
But I didn't expect, like, you know, Jenna Ortega's character to just breathe and he'd be like, fuck, and like die right then and there.
She's so good looking.
But then it makes sense and you're like, oh. Shit, like, yeah, that is exactly what would happen. Like, out of all the things tonight, his heart's just like, all right, dude, tap out.
Yeah. Mark had a good point after the movie. How did these two old people hang up that person in the basement?
That's true.
Like, maybe they were having a lot of trouble, like, dragging Lorraine into the house.
I don't remember when Wayne dies. Do they show someone stab him through the eyes or just no?
They don't show somebody like using the pitchfork, but it's clearly Pearl.
How the fuck can that lady do that?
I don't think you have to do it very hard. You can see that there's cutouts like
because Pearl comes back in with the pitchfork.
I
understand,
but they don't show her like shoving it through. It,
yeah,
there's holes in there, and that's what he's looking through. I think there's already holes from the pitchfork or something. Mm-hmm. So
I'm just saying, how could she have that much strength to do that?
I don't think you need a lot of strength to get somebody through the eye.
Yeah. Pretty jelly.
I just feel like when you're old, you can't do anything.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, clearly she could.
She was able to kill RJ too and get on top and stab him.
RJ wasn't Howard. RJ wasn't no big man.
Yeah. What I do love about RJ's death scene is how progressively the filter gets more and more red. Mm-hmm. As like more blood's coming up and in the light of the van.
Yeah.
I think Ty West did a lot of artsy shit in this movie. But I think a lot of it kind of paid off.
Yeah.
But I don't really have anything else to say about Howard.
No.
I think his death was the funniest one.
Yeah. I would say that whole sequence was the funniest part, especially like when did you guys realize like Maxine's gun was unloaded from earlier when Howard's Wayne's like, I keep mine in the glove box too.
There's no bullets in it. I remember him saying that.
So like I knew that was coming, but it was still impactful. And then when I was like, okay, cool. Like we're like, this is like where everybody gets fucking killed.
Uh-huh.
And then Pearl goes fucking flying. I was like, holy fuck. That's what would happen though.
Yeah. That was hysterical. That whole like sequence. And then he even says like, I'm afraid she's going to fall and like break her hip. And when she does fall, she's like, oh, my hip.
Yeah.
I love it.
There's a lot of callbacks.
She turns like super like mean and she's just like calling Maxine a whore and a slut and then like just fucking runs over her head.
Yeah. I love every like part where Pearl turns into a huge bitch and starts saying shit to people.
Yeah.
Like when she says stuff to Brittany Snow's character, Bobby Lynn. I don't even think we ever said her name's Bobby Lynn, but it's Bobby Lynn.
She pushes her and she's like, bitch.
Such a white trash fucking name, but
Bobby Joe, Little Joe. Slim Jim.
I like that one. And then when Howard's asking her, like, oh, where's Wayne? And she's like, stuck like the pig he is in the barn. I was like, damn, Pearl.
When she was, I don't even know why she went through the like trouble of covering up his body.
I think just in case. Because at that point, like, I mean,
I thought she was trying to hide it from her husband.
Nah. Well, I guess they play into that. Yeah. I think, but then it's like, all right, well, she doesn't cover up RJ's body, but I guess, like, nobody's up there. Yeah. And then, like, she doesn't know that, or at that point, you don't think that she knows that Lorraine's trapped in the basement. So,
Yeah.
I don't know. It was weird. Again, so, could play into the whole, like, is she senile? Is she all there?
So would you like to give our reviews?
Let's do it.
Sure. I'll start out then. Mm-hmm. For me, this movie is a 4.5 out of 5. I liked it a lot. I think it's a really good movie. Again, only a couple issues with me. I would say the whole like song part, that's like a whole song is just so long for me. I like how they did the split screen like that. See, that's why like I don't hate it. I just prefer if it wasn't there, but I like how they do the split screen and you see like kind of Pearl and like what's going on with her and then the rest of them. I do like that, but that song's just so long.
It's really not a long song though. Because they don't do the whole song.
No.
Yeah.
He just does still, like one verse and chorus.
It's still way too long for me. Because like I felt it in the theater, like watching, I was like, dude, how long is this fucking going on for? And when stuff like that happens and it takes me out of the movie, I can't stand it. And I think that like Jenna Ortega's part, she should have just had a sex scene too. If you're gonna hire somebody to put them into that spot, just do it. Like just go.
Is there anything? Yeah, does anybody know about her, like her contracts or anything? Like, does she not?
Well, I thought just heard Chris Hansen come into Kyle's room, so I'll let that one finish.
She was like 20 when this was filmed, 19 yeah. or 20. She's 21 right now.
You knew that really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because Mark keeps saying she's 18. She was underage. She wasn't underage.
I said I've assumed she was.
But it's
no, you said like, she was underage.
It seems like it's in her contract somewhere. I mean, she got pretty close, but like.
Right, but I'm saying even if she doesn't want to do it, just hire somebody who will. And I'm not saying like it just double. Because it's Jenna Ortega. I'm saying it just because, like, if everyone else in this movie is doing it, it seems off when she doesn't.
It didn't seem off to me just because it was like she's the church mouse character, and then if you're in the movie from like RJ's point of view, like he doesn't want to see it, so mm-hmm. therefore the audience doesn't see it. That's what I was like. Okay, cool.
I can get that.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, I kind of dislike how there's going to be a prequel to this. We didn't really talk anything about that yet, but you know, there's the after credit scene, which I didn't even know about. I was just fucking around with like Mark and Sam, and I was like, "Oh, yeah, might be an after credit scene." I was just joking, and then it happened, and I said, "I can't believe this." And then wound up being where Mark said it's almost like a Fear Street, where it's you know the same character playing a different role and a prequel and back in time. Like, I don't know if I like that. We'll see when it comes, but I think this would have been better as a one and done. I don't really want a lot explained. That's just me. I feel like it's going to degrade it a little bit. I also hear how people keep calling this a slasher. I wouldn't call it a slasher. There's slasher-esque kills, but there's a lot of different kind of kills in this. There's, of course, like the eye thing, like the pitchfork through the face and the stabbing of RJ. Like that's kind of slasher, but like the alligator, that's more creature. Mm. The shotgun blasts are just deaths. Like I don't think they really fit the slasher mold, and I don't know, run over the head, that's more body gore than anything. I wouldn't say this is a slasher, but that's just me. I don't know. I'd like to hear if anybody else has another opinion of that. But a couple parts I do love, obviously I love all the sex scenes in this, and I thought I was going to like them more and be like, hell yeah, this is a horny fucking movie. And I kept saying that to people just like joking, but I did, I don't know. I don't know if that makes it a callback to the 70s and 80s, but I love that style. I like when horror movies are more raunchy, honestly.
Like grindhouse kind of films.
Yeah. And I love when fucking Kid Cudi's dick swinging in the fucking shadows. That part is like, it's that little bit of comedy that like, gives you a moment to breathe in all this tension. It's I liked it a lot, but yeah, that's it for me. X 4.5.
What's your favorite kill?
Favorite kill,
if you have one,
or death, if you pick Howard.
Kill I death, mean, yeah, I, sure. Demise. Yeah,
so his was funny to me, but I don't know. Maybe Pearl's because the way her head just squishes.
Mm.
I don't really know. I don't really have like a favorite. Maybe it is Howard because that heart attack, like it's so simple but so funny to me. Like little cocksucker, like that's all he had to do was get it spooked a little bit and then he's dead. Like mm-hmm. I don't know, such a pussy. Mm.
Sweet. Yeah. Mark, you want to go next or me? Or?
Sure. So like I'll say this movie's a 4 out of 5. I think the only problem I really have with it, is the pacing seems a little slow in the beginning. I remember looking at my watch and it was like an hour and something in before we get some type of kill when RJ dies or any type of violence or anything like that. So I think the beginning's a little slow and it's going to be slow for some people. But I believe I for me, the back half of the movie that pays off for the rest, that makes the whole movie worth it. I think of when we first walked out, I told Kyle and Sam, I was like, that's all right. You know?
Yeah. I told you, but kept saying it was fine.
It's fine. It is fine. It's all right. It's, but the more like I read about it and I want to see it again, but obviously, unfortunately right now I can't go to the theaters and see it again. Some of us are sick, but, yeah, I think they do all the kills and deaths right. You kind of expect them, like with, when Wayne is looking through the holes, you know, he's going to get stabbed with a pitchfork. But you don't know that they're going to show them pull it out. You wouldn't expect them to do that. You know Pearl's going to get her head ran over when she's like right there. And then when Brittany Snow gets pushed, or Bobby Joe gets Bobby pushed Lynn. Into Lake. Bobby Lynn, or is it Bobby Joe?
Yeah, what Bobby Lynn.
Oh, Bobby Lynn. I'm thinking of a scary movie. But you know when she gets pushed into the lake, you're like, oh, there's definitely going to be an alligator kill. But I think all the kills are done well. I don't have anything really bad to say about this other than the pacing of the movie is kind of slow in the beginning. It might take a little too long to get to where it needs to get to, but I'll definitely rewatch this again when it comes to streaming. I don't know if it could be on streaming now. I don't know if they did like a type of thing like that.
I don't think it is.
Nah.
Like Kyle said with the prequel thing, it kind of is annoying. I understand that. But the only thing I want to know really is how these old people got that guy up there. In the basement. That's the only thing I really care about. Like, how the fuck did they get that guy there? So I don't know if I really like the whole prequel going back to 1928 or 1918, whatever it is. I don't know if I like that whole aspect. Maybe a few years before to show them, unless that's when they started in 1918 to killing people and just doing, this is when this lady's been like this, a serial killer for 50 years. And I think my favorite kill is Wayne because when they pull it out, that's so unexpected. And then you, like Brady said before, you see his like eye there. Another thing too is I'm actually surprised this has an R with how much is in it, like nudity, and like a lot of the kills are graphic too. I'm surprised it didn't get
like an NC-17
or something. NC-17, or maybe there was stuff they cut out, you know, like give and take. They knew stuff was gonna have to be cut out. Like, I don't know when this is coming out, but on our podcast before, when
it's going to be out, I'm hoping tomorrow.
Okay. So I don't know if the other one will be out, but you know, like how he said, like they put stuff in knowing they're going to cut something out.
Well, yeah, we hear that all the time from like directors. I think even Wes Craven's talked about that. How he's like purposely put like bad shit in just because he knew it, like they would allow the shit he actually wanted to get in.
But I think for most people, if you're into horror, you're going to like it. It's a raunchy horror movie. It does what it has to do. So I 4 out of 5, I enjoyed it. And I think I enjoy it more now as we talked about it. And knowing Pearl was played by the same girl, like that's like really interesting to me now. Like I want to go back and watch it just for that.
Sweet.
So yeah, 4 out of 5. Brady?
For me, this movie is a 5 out of 5. I really, really liked this one. I guess I'll start with like the pacing. I thought I didn't have an issue with the pacing. I thought it was a beautiful slow burn that paid off really well. Again, with the song, I know Kyle and I disagreed on that, but like I think
it was good. It didn't bother me.
So. Yeah, I think it was a beautiful song choice, and Brittany Snow did a great job singing. And how it shows the duality of their characters contrasted with Pearl, like being jealous and longing for her youth again, was really well done. That's when you realize that you're not getting the movie that maybe you thought you were, with everybody saying it was Texas Chainsaw. I think that, yes, it's not a true slasher. I think that it's more of like a love letter to slashers and all the films that Ty West really likes and that most of us still love to go back and watch. And I do like that he didn't make it a true slasher, that he made it like there's a bunch of different influences in there. Love the Hitchcock references. I love the call outs to Friday the 13th, Texas Chainsaw. In his interview, he said, you know, when you make a movie, in a certain time period and a certain setting, like there's always going to be that one movie that hangs over. So he's like, in my case, it's Texas Chainsaw. But if I had made it at a camp in the woods, you guys would have said it's a Friday the 13th. And hopefully once you guys watch it, you realize that it's not the movie that you thought you signed up for, and it is its own thing. And I think this movie did that. I think, you know, other than Scream 5, this is probably my favorite movie of the year so far. I just think it's fun. Like, especially once the kills get going, like, it's, there's, yes, some setups are telegraphed heavily, like Wayne's death, you know, what's going to happen. But like you said, like most of the slashers we used to watch, or we still watch from the 80s, you knew who was going to die in the scene, and you still watched it because of the kill. And I think Ty West really brings it back to that. Like, it's about the kill. It's not about the surprise so much. And as far as the prequel, I'm not sure how I feel about it. I like that he's kind of getting away from the quote unquote elevated horror that A24 is used to. Mm-hmm. And he gave us like a seedy grindhouse 70s era film. I hope that he doesn't lose any steam with the next one, but from the sound of it in his interviews, like they filmed it right after they filmed X. So he was probably like still really ready and primed for that. I just hope that it doesn't turn into like a Fear Street kind of series where you're following the same character through three different eras. If this one's about Pearl, that's cool. I can deal with that. I think that she was a very interesting character, but for the third one, I'd like to see it go in a different direction. You can
wait,
keep
is
me-
there going to be a third one?
Yeah. He said that they have, that the second one is, everything is done. It's shot, edited, and that the third one is still super secretive, and he'll be releasing details like after the second one comes out.
Really?
Which would be cool because it'd be like the first A24 trilogy.
Well, I don't even know if A24 has any sequels, right? I don't think there's any movies that they've come out that has a sequel. No. I could be wrong, but I didn't know they were going to do like a three thing.
Yeah.
Did you know that, Kyle? No. After the fact?
I think me and Sam talked about that yesterday or something.
But yeah.
About how there's going to be a third one, I think. Did we talk about that? I don't know. I wish that they wouldn't do that. To me, I'd rather, like, for this movie, I think it'd be better. I mean, again, I haven't seen the prequel one, but just an old, resentful lady who wishes she was still hot because she's sexually driven, like, that just seems like such a better backstory than whatever the fuck they could possibly put out right now.
I think that I am drawn to movies where you get into like the backstory of why somebody is some way. Like, that was the issue when, like, I love Halloween, but when I first saw it, my mind was so wired to think, okay, well, why does he kill, that I totally overlooked that's the point, is that he's just evil. I think with this, like, you can get a good backstory about Pearl, because this is obviously not the first time she's killed. So if you kind of scale that back to her first kill, or like what drove her to kill, you know, like, that whole sequence where she's telling Maxine about like her first husband and everything, I was like, okay, well, like, we can get that.
Mm-hmm.
What made her into the crazy woman? Like, sure, she's always sexually driven, but like, what made her cross the line into killing people?
Yeah, some of the times that she talked, I couldn't understand what the fuck she was saying. I wish I had subtitles, because I'm like,
what? That's what I was thinking too. I was like, it's really dark in here, I can't see what her mouth is saying. Like,
yeah.
I guess she said she had another husband.
Yeah.
I didn't know she had another husband either. I didn't hear her say
at least
that.
Look, if anybody listens to this and I'm wrong, please let me know. But that's what I made out from
what that. I just did is what she sounded like.
That could be very true. It was hard to understand her, that's all.
That's why I said, what, once this comes to streaming, I think you'd watch it again. And
And then when you see the end credit scene for the trailer for Pearl, there's that dude in the soldier outfit who blows up into like confetti. And I think like that was supposed to be the same person from the picture who, from what I heard, was her husband, her first husband.
Gotcha.
Or her first love, whatever
it was. They should have called it XX.
Mm. And then the last one's XXX, Vin Diesel and Ice Cube come back.
There you go. I kind of wish, I can't wait for this one to be out on Blu-ray.
Oh yeah, this is definitely one that, like, I'm very picky with like physical copies, but I think like this is one that like I would love to just buy and get, like, have the cool case for it and all that good stuff. Yep. It's one that I know I can just watch over and over, and it's a pretty short movie for a slow burn too. It's like under 2 hours, So lately I feel like movies have been super long, or maybe it's just because I've seen the Batman twice now and it's like 6 hours of my life. But I think that it's a good quick watch. Like I watched it right before work the other day and then went in and nobody at work likes horror movies. So I'm sitting there just like with all this like...
like stewing.
Yeah.
You can't say, did you guys see this?
Well, actually one guy, we actually got a new like assistant manager. His name's Kevin.
Shout out, Kevin.
Shout out, Kevin. He's got a bunch of tattoos. He's got a bunch of tattoos, and I thought one was like Evil Dead, but I couldn't get a good enough look. And then he like took his work shirt off and had like an undershirt on that was the Evil Dead, and I was like, all right. And then I talked to him a little bit, and we just like he just started like exploding about horror, and I was like,
Mr. Kevin,
yeah,
is that an Evil Dead tattoo?
I was like, hey, is that Ash? I like Ash too. My parents almost named me Ashley.
Because they wanted me to be a girl, not because of Evil Dead.
Yep.
Well, I think that wraps things up for us and X by Ty West. And yep, that's it. We'll see you all later.
Peace out.
Well, I'm on Vintage Horror Podcast.